The Old Testament is Psalm 119, verses 105 to 112. 105, verse 105 is Jem's theme verse. I picked the whole entire verse 8, which usually goes together. So we're going to read it after my prayer. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you, Lord, because we have your words in our hands. And thank you so much for calling us and giving us this wonderful moment that we communally reading your scripture, and listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ through the scriptures, Lord. Especially, we thank you so much for James' Sunday, and thank you so much for this very special moment and all the verses that we're going to look at today. Lord, help us to find our Lord Jesus Christ from our text, and help us to understand your holy salvation plan for everyone. And also, would you please bless me as I'm going to unfold your salvation story from the Bible. Bless my lips and give me your words to say so that we all members and I will be encouraged and refreshed our minds and then reconfirmed with your promises from the Bible, Lord. Lord, bless us. We pray your Son in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 119, verses 105 to 112. Page number from our Pew Bible is 653. We are using the ESV Bible. This is the Word of God. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted, and give me life, O Lord, according to your Word. Accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and I teach me your rules. Now hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, but they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. This is the word of God. Amen. What's happening in Psalm 119? We have to know before we jump into the text. Psalm 119, verse 9, is one of famous verses from 119. It says, "How can a young man keep his way pure?" Answer is like this: by guarding it according to your word. Now, this short verse that we just read summarizes the purpose of Psalm 119. Now, Psalm 119 is written not just only to praise God, but it's written to educate our children, the children of God, including you and me. Now, since we are all God's people, and then became his children through our faith in Jesus Christ, so Psalm 119 is not only for the young people and children, but it is written for us to learn about God's love, to learn about God's law. And then this psalm is written to teach us about how we live, how to live in this world as God's people. So this is a very practical and theological and a very powerful psalm. So reading Psalm 119 is somehow very fascinating for many reasons. Now, it is the longest psalm ever. If you want to read this psalm, you feel that, oh my Lord goodness, this is so long. How can we read this one? It has 176 verses. Now, although it has 176 verses, this is not just 176 verses. All these verses are carefully organized. As you already know, the contents of Psalm 119 are surprisingly intensive and intellectual and spiritual and theological. The extraordinary feature that we see from Psalm 119 is that each letter of the Hebrew alphabet is used in every 8 verses. So verse 1 uses it, verse 9 uses it, it moves every 8 verses. They use Hebrew alphabet verse. Now we know the Hebrew alphabet has 23 letters. but the author used only 22. I'm going to tell you later. But the psalmist used all these 23 letters to create this massive, wonderful psalm. Now, each alphabet letter is the first word of each movement, I can say, every 8 verses. That's what it is. And then in the middle of alphabet, there's in the Hebrew alphabet, Shin and Sin. It's kind of same letter, but different dot there. It's combined as one, so it comes with 22 letters. So if we do the math, 22 letters by 8 verses, the answer is 176 verses. That's why Psalm 119 has 176 verses. So we say Psalm 119 is an acrostic psalm, like other psalms, Psalm 25 or 111 or 145, using different tools of lots of acrostic literature method. You know, but Psalm 119 is the most developed acrostic psalm that we will read later. So we see that this is not just written, but all the letters and words are carefully picked and constructed and to teach young people, to teach us. Since the Psalm 119 is written for the children of God, we can say that this is a wisdom psalm. I tried to read a psalm, this 119, just one sitting. It took me about 18 minutes. So 18 minutes, we'll get treasures of God's teaching. It's a wisdom psalm. The themes that we see, we will see, and from each movement, which means 8 verses, and vocabularies we will read, follow the characteristics of the Hebrew wisdom literature. So we will be surprised by reading this one, you know, 20 minutes. So each movement of Psalm 119 is like a similar to the collection of the Proverbs, very similar. The amazing thing is, it contains like an A, B, C then of how to live in the world as God's people. And it talks about who we are, who you are, where we belong. As God's children, we should not live in this world by the teaching of the world and following things of the world. But Psalm 119 clearly teaches that our living style and our lifestyle must be different. Not set by the world, but set by the Word of God. So that's the main point of Psalm 119. One thing that Psalm 119 keeps, you know, emphasizing, talking about is that the Word of God, which is in here in our text of Torah, the Word of God will surely cover every part of our life in the world. So 20 minutes, you will see, wow, this is an amazing psalm. It covers my life. The Word of God teaches how to live in this world from A to Z and everything. So there is no human crisis and trouble or challenge and issue that we cannot find answers from the Word of God. We will find, if we have a question about spiritual questions, theological questions, life-challenging questions, Psalm 119 has answers for us. So the Word of God in Psalm 119 is like a complete set of how to live in this world as God's people. So John Calvin said, the aim of the 119 is to exhort the children of God to follow godliness and a holy life, teaching about the true worship. Therefore, Psalm 119 teaches us about the Word of God. And it says that the Word of God must be the center of our life. It also talks about the meaning of life as well. It also talks about true meaning of true freedom in keeping the Word of God through our daily, normal daily life. We understand that true freedom is not doing whatever we want to do, but true freedom is started with obedience to the Word of God. That's the beauty of knowing and learning about God's Word. True freedom comes from the Word of God. That's our joy we're going to see. That's why it starts with like this, Psalm 119, verse 1. It says, blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. So we find joy and happiness, and we find our God's grace and everything in Psalm 119. So that's kind of framework and that we need to know before we jump into our text, because I can't preach the entire 176 verses. Well, I can't. I think I'm not that smart yet. Maybe in the future later. But these short verses that we picked, that we're gonna look at, we should kind of this kind of foundation work. Now, what about New Hope Church? And what happened to us with Psalm 119 and verse 105? Now, New Hope Church has many wonderful ministries, as we know, and among them, like mostly children's ministry has been richly blessed by the Lord for many years. We're doing our best to teach and to educate the children of God, little ones, such as like a GEMS ministry, cadet and Sunday school and Bible club at Balboa Elementary School. So, thinking about that way, this small congregation is doing what God has told us to do, teaching our children about their life in the world, how they're going to live in this world. Now, today is GEMS Sunday. We know that we celebrate today as GEMS Sunday to witness the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of young girls who come to our GEMS ministry every other Wednesday. As we already talked about, GEMS theme verse is Psalm 119 and 105. It says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Now, since Psalm 119 is an acrostic psalm, it is necessary for us to read this verse with other seven verses, remaining seven verses, which is verse from 105 to 112. I already mentioned that Psalm 119 is written to teach the children, to educate the children how to live in the world as God's people. So continue to remember that that's a setting. And then in that setting, 107 says, "I am severely afflicted." Now, this particular verse and words are written for those who are like a severely afflicted. So the verses 105 to 112 is for someone who is really struggling with so many things. That's the kind of setting. It could be our spiritual affliction, like finding God's presence in our life. We feel nothing in our life, emptiness. Maybe we're struggling with our faith every day. Maybe we're questioning about God's existence. God, are you here? Are you really be with us? Or we're dealing with lots of things, like our sins and personal sins and sins of the world. Maybe it could be our physical illness that we have right now. Now, we think about how people react to all kinds of afflictions and frequently that happen to them. When people are either spiritually and then physically afflicted, people including us, we feel helpless. And then many times we don't know what to do. When something happens, we don't know what to do. We're very discouraged. So some people, sometimes they complain to God, "God, what happened to me? And are you there? Do you really love me?" And sometimes people blame others. "It happened to me because of you." Blame others for their sufferings and problems. Now, we don't need to judge our natural tendencies when we are suffering, but our text today teaches us that how to react when we are severely afflicted. That's our text. The first one that I'm going to mention is, we worship God although we are afflicted. Verse 108 reads, "Accept my freewill offerings of praise." Now, the word "accept" in Hebrew means to be pleased with. Now, the psalmist here declares that he praises God in the middle of afflictions. And he's worshiping God and offering his prayers and then asking God will be pleased with his worship, his praise. Now, surely God will be pleased with our praises and songs and prayers. But the psalmist teaches us the different way of bringing joy and honor to God. We praise Him. We worship Him. We give Him many thanks when we are severely afflicted. Is that possible? Do you worship God and do you pray more when you are severely afflicted? We all know that that's not easy. It's much easier for us not to worship God and not to pray when we are severely afflicted. And sometimes we see people leave church in their faith and abandon their faith in God when they find themselves surrounded by many troubles and afflictions. They say that there is no God. But the Bible clearly says that leaving the church or abandoning their faith in Jesus Christ is not the way to solve their problems, their earthly problems. Our text says in 108, when we are afflicted, what we can do is accept my freewill offerings of praise and then teach me your rules. When we are afflicted, we turn our eyes and face toward Jesus Christ and worship Him. We praise God and we worship God. We offer our hearts to God, even though we are severely afflicted. Even though our hearts and bodies and our spiritual minds, everything is afflicted, we worship God. That is the first thing that we have to do to recover, to renew our broken souls and bodies. Because when we worship Him, when we pray to Him, God answers to us. God shows His grace and mercy to us. And in 108, it should be read with Hebrew 13 and verse 15. It says, through Him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of a praise to God. That there is a word through Him. That is the fruit of the lips of acknowledging His name. This is a crucial verse in Hebrew chapter 13, verse 15. We have the reason to worship God, to praise Him. Why? Through Him, our Lord Jesus Christ. When we are afflicted, He is with us. He already been through all these things, and He will support us. He never leave us alone. Because of our Lord Jesus Christ and His love and His sacrifice for us, we have the reason to worship our Lord, the reason to worship our God in the middle of our sufferings. That's what the psalmist says in our text. We have the reason to worship our Lord. The second thing that we learn from our psalm is we trust the word of God when we are afflicted. Now, 109 says, I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. Now, about this verse, John Calvin says, no calamities, afflictions, or dangers which he had experienced had withdrawn him from the service of God and the observance of His law. So basically, John Calvin says, whatever happens to somebody who believes in God, that doesn't bother him to worship God. Like calamities and afflictions and dangers. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. There are many reasons for the psalmist says that he will continually remember God's law and His promise in the midst of his afflictions. And we're going to look at that one. Here he says the word law. This particular word appears 25 times in Psalm 119, which is a key word. That's obvious. The meaning of law in Psalm 119 is simply the word of God. And then God's teaching from the Bible. So many times the psalmist confesses that in our text, he loves God's law. In verse 97, 113, 116, three. That's his faith. I love God's law, God's word. And also he explains that why he loves God's law like that. In verse 142, he says, your law is true. And in verse 70 and 174 says, your law is my delight. Even our text 111 says, the joy of my heart. So what we see is something different in his heart in the midst of his afflictions. We don't know what happened to him, but he knows that the word, God's word is true. And that he finds himself delight and joy by reading and meditating, by holding the promise of God. So what we see Psalm 119 is also found in Psalm 19 verses 7 and 10. It's connected. I preached on this text last year. Psalm 19 verses 7 and 10 says about God's law, about the word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect. And reviving our soul. And it's sure, it's right, and rejoice the heart. Simply reading the scripture, our heart turns to be rejoicing in everything, and pure, enlightening the eyes. It opens our eyes, and we will be able to, the word of God. And it's righteous. And then finally it says, sweeter than honey. I want to point out one more time. The second point is, we trust the word of God when we are afflicted. And connect with this one, because the word of God is sweeter than honey. Do we have that feeling? Just holding the word of God in our hands and reading just one chapter, one word, one sentence, one verse. We feel that this is sweeter than honey. I can't let these things go. Therefore, the psalmist, he loves God's law, the word of God. Since the word of God is always true, therefore he will never forget God's word. But he always keep the word of God. And he always want to be taught by word of God. That's 109. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. Can we say like him, whatever happens to us, we can declare that the word of God is the center of my life, sweeter than honey, so I continue to worship him. I trust my Lord. Verse 110 says, the wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. The psalmist knows that something will happen to him. The wicked, his enemies, some bad people, have laid a snare for me. It will happen to us. We don't plan to have anything like that, but someone and even Satan will set up a snare before us, then what we will do when we find snares around us, lots of afflictions, we just give up? No, the psalmist declares that in the midst of our afflictions, we trust the word of God. And we do not stray from God's precepts, which means commandments and his instructions. My third point is, we choose the word of God. And verse 106 reads, I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. It's a very strong sentence. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it. The psalmist devoted himself like 100% of himself to the word of God. There's no partial dedication. I'll give you, Lord, like a 93%, but please let me have 7%. That's my life. Not that way. There's no partial way to keep the word of God. It always 100%. As we already reviewed, the word of God is true and pure and perfect and righteous. So why not 100%? There is no reason that we keep some of us and some of our understanding and then we just worship Him. No, we choose the Word of God every time. And verse 112 says, I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. He gave his heart to the Lord, not partially, but the whole himself to the Lord to the end. The psalmist chose God and God's word over everything, even though he was severely afflicted. Looks like there is no hope, no future, nothing out there. But still he is holding the word of God, even though it seems there is nothing remained. Even though the wicked have laid a snare before him, his heart confirmed and again and again and again, no matter what, I will keep your statutes, laws, your words forever to the end. And I'll always choose the word of God over everything. And I will always follow your word. That's what he said in verse 106. Now, he summarized all his faith and teaching in 105, which is the very first verse. He says, why he's doing everything like this? Because your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. What a wonderful verse. I think I already told you about what I did when I drove on a highway at night. I remember I tried one in Michigan, one in Alaska. I was wondering about whether I could see and was able to drive on a road if I turned the headlight off at night. Highway at night. Can I drive it? So I did. I turned all the lights off while I was driving on a highway. Surely everything turned dark and even though highway, it's really dark. Complete darkness. I was not able to see anything in front of me. So what I did was immediately turn the lights on because I didn't want to die. If you didn't try, please don't try. Don't try. It's very dangerous. But I tried to know what happened to me. But this is a scene that we can picture what the psalmist describes in 105 is like that. Our life will be completely dark. We cannot see anything without the Word of God. Because the Word of God is like a lamp, shines us. As light shines our way, where to go, what to do. You know, we cannot go outside when we go to camping. It's really dark. We are holding our lamps when we go to camping on the outside. We can't go outside without a lamp, a light. The same is true with us. We cannot go to the world and we cannot live in this world without the true light, who is our Lord Jesus Christ. If we don't have Him, our life looks like a shining and bright and we know what to do. That's not true. We are driving on a highway without headlights. We don't know what will happen to us. And Apostle John describes Jesus Christ as the light in his letter. John chapter 1 and 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. Jesus Christ is the light. And verse 5, the light shines in the darkness. In verse 9, the true light, which is Jesus Christ, which gives light to everyone, was coming to the world. And he came to the world to give his true life, true light to us. And then Jesus Christ himself says in John verse 8 and verse 12, he says, I am the light. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness anymore, but will have the light of life. If we understand the power of His light in us, there's no way to deny Him. In verse 9, chapter 9, verse 5, I am the light of the world. We need Him. The world needs Jesus Christ. That's the answer. The true light came to us to cast away the works of the darkness in us. As a light cast away darkness, the true light, Jesus Christ, cast away our sins and gives us the true light. He redeemed us from the world of darkness to be the children of light, to shine the world with the power of His light, the true light. So we have the light. That's why we are doing GEMS and Cadet and Balboa and Bible Club, all kinds of children ministries. We believe that we are bringing the true light to the hearts of the children. Therefore, surely Jesus is a lamp to our feet and the light to our paths. We need Him. As we know, our theme, the theme of GEMS Ministry 2006 years, choose truth. Now, we should not misunderstand that we need to choose God and Christ. No, not that way. We don't choose Christ. The Bible clearly says that God chose us before the foundation. Ephesians chapter 1 and 3. We are called. Here the word choose in GEMS, the theme means we need to choose the Word of God over everything. As Psalm 119 covers the entire of human beings' life through 176 verses, we choose the Word of God. There's nothing that we can find answers for our troubles. The Word of God has to be the center of our life. Every day, every morning, every night, every moment when we go somewhere. We need to be led by the Word of God, not by something else. No one can lead you, but only the Word of God. Our life should be led by the Word of God, God's law and His precepts, His commandments and His teachings. We do not know who wrote Psalm 119. Scholars have said probably David or Ezra or Daniel. But now we do know that this particular psalm was carefully written. All the words and sentences, the phrases and verses are carefully picked and organized to teach us the one thing, choose the Word of God. One of the theologians, Walter Brueggemann, one of my favorite theologians, he says exactly like this. There is no human crisis or issue in which one need to go outside the field of Torah obedience to live fully. Simply, he's saying that you have question about your life. The answer is from the Bible. Brothers and sisters, we do have the Word of God in our hands, Bible. And also we do have our complicated and unanswerable situations. So sometimes so difficult to find answers in front of us. Sometimes we don't know what to do. We don't know where to go. This is our choice. Trust the Word of God and keep the Word of God and choose the Word of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, over everything, even if we are severely afflicted. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, sometimes we have so many questions about our lives. And maybe some of us in our congregation members are having so many troubles and in the midst of lots of afflictions. Lord, my heart is troubled. My body is troubled. But we know that the Word of God is the answer for our troubled hearts. Would you please come to us? Would you please bless us with your words? And bless Gem's ministry, all the girls who are coming to our ministry. Bless them with the power of your word so that they will always choose you, the word. And they will always share and bring the light to the world. We pray your son in Jesus' name. Amen.